You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Lot of receiver talk right there. And I got this board. Bulldog spared himself a look at the board. He didn't come in.
Yeah, that's right. And I assume that'll be gone tomorrow when we begin our last show before the first round of the draft. Because I imagine Jer and Joe are bringing it to their party at Resurgence tomorrow night.
I feel like now maybe they would just leave it here until 6-ish and then come and get it.
That might be nice, too. Although, I don't know. I don't need to see it again. I'm familiar.
I don't either.
I think I know the names.
I know the names. It's been adjusted today.
Oh.
There are more names on it than yesterday.
Come on, really?
Yes. We were talking about it early yesterday. You were talking about the stickers. That was yesterday.
Yeah, they were peeling off of it.
That's still happening.
Yeah.
And I counted there were 13 names, and today there are 15.
I didn't think there was room for two more names on
it. Well, there's room for even another one, I would say.
Wow.
There
are
aren't little...
Are they off to the side, or are they stacked up with them? Well, all right.
Somehow two names have been added.
It's an efficient board they've constructed.
I assume, with respect and admiration, I assume that if 14 receivers go before pick 28, that we're fine picking the 15th at 28 because just get one. Is that why there are 15 names on this list, that they're all okay, they're all the same, they're all worth it? There's no actual meaning to the analysis of the player. Just get one of them and we're all good.
I can't specifically speak to how the morning show and the wide receiver train has been going about this. So I don't know if the goal is these are, you know, any one of these guys at 28 would be fine. I mean, that seems probably absurd because there's guys on there that I don't even think I would want to pick at 28.
I've got guys in here I would not want to pick at 88.
Oh, wow.
Jalen Polk, the third best receiver on the Washington Huskies, is now like, that's okay.
He's just on that board now? Yeah.
Oh, he's on here. Yeah, he's on. He is so on here.
Yeah. I might like him as a player, but yeah, not on Thursday at midnight or whenever they're going to pick. No, I don't think that should have to happen.
I haven't decided if I want to be awake for it. Well, I guess.
Come on.
I guess no, I do. I want to know. I want to know right now.
Yeah.
But I am just dreading the trade up.
Yeah.
Buzz. I'm just dreading it. I'm dreading it. You already know. You've been through it. I just feel like it's such a bad idea. And, of course, if the Bills do it, Bills fans will love it.
Right.
And defend it any way they can. Like, just whatever it takes. Just the most strained arguments you've ever heard on this radio station will just line up if the Bills trade next year's first and second to get to Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, it's just going to be the worst.
Well, You'll have me by your side for a lot of it anyway. I mean, I'm not monitoring your social media, so I can't control what you do or don't do there. But, you know, I went through this 10 years ago. So
you went through it and you came through it.
And I came through it. And I came through it. And what have I learned? Nothing. I've learned nothing. I was dead set against the trade up for Sammy Watkins 10 years ago. I got hammered by the fans when exactly the scenario you just laid out happened. We spent, I don't know if it was weeks, but days talking about it. I'm like, no. I don't have a quarterback. This is crazy. Don't do it. And they did, and I continued to say they shouldn't have done it. I don't like it. And of course, by then everyone was just, you know, drunk on Sammy Watkins. He's on the Bills. He's going
to
be great.
You guys have to watch the tape. So, go to YouTube. It's this new app. Go to YouTube and watch Sammy Watkins play for Clemson, and you'll come around.
Here I am 10 years later, and look, I'll play my part here. I am certainly open to it. It's not my favorite idea. But I would do it. I will not be upset if they traded. I don't know about a first and a second for Brian Thomas Jr. Because I've always thought that was like a more modest trade up the board, and I don't know about that. But like a bigger trade that cost me even more, up to get a Dunze, I'm open to. A more modest trade up, I'm certainly open to as well. But like a one and a two for Brian Thomas Jr. That's just an example you're making there. That sounds like too much to me, but what do I know? I'm just super excited. Go ahead.
I want to hear that, but I want to say, like, my best guess now is that to get to Brian Thomas Jr., probably at best the fourth receiver to go tomorrow night, you need to move up at least 14 spots, which would cost you a one next year, and maybe you get a third Friday, which is good, and then maybe you're giving up one or two Saturday picks, which I think the Bills would find doable. Mm-hmm. Because I think the more I listened to, all I did all morning was just like, I don't know. Maybe somebody in their lives have had a cold and they just watched game shows or soap operas all day. Has the show ever sounded older? Like, that's what I did all morning with draft podcasts. I spent 5 hours listening, taking breaks for Margo, listening to, you know, Silva and Davis Maddock and five other people.
I should have done that. I have a cold, and
I should have spent
my morning or early afternoon doing that. You know what? I started to say there. I love Zach with Happy Draft Day Eve. Like I am starting to really feel the excitement of the potential, and this does not have to be a commentary on being excited about a massive trade up and paying three or four assets for one player. It just simply is that if the Bills get this right, whatever they do, whether it's a big trade, a moderate trade, a no trade, a trade back, a trade for a veteran even, the opportunity that they have in front of them here to get a weapon to pair with Josh Allen, like, if they nail it, second contract, right? I mean, we won't know this for a while here, but it's like a guy to ride Josh Allen through the rest of his career almost. I mean, he's already 6 years in. Like, if you get this pick right and, you know, 4 years in, sign the guy to an extension, you're looking at 8 to 10 years of this guy being on the Bills with Josh Allen, and how much longer than that is Allen even going to play? Like, It's a significant moment in the trajectory of Allen's career and thus the Bills as a franchise, because they have this opportunity with this guy here playing quarterback to continue to be a contender, and man, the stakes are very high. Like, if they get this right, they could really be set up, and I just find that almost breathtakingly exciting.
You want Burrow and Chase.
Yeah.
You want, you know, Allen is whatever he is, 6 years in.
Yep.
But you want, you know, take it from here.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun to think about. I mean, in terms of the discussion about how to do it, you've got a year this year where almost everybody agrees there's a long list of viable players for that role to varying degrees. But the guiding principle has to be that you don't know which ones will be the best. It obviously will not go in a straight line, even, dare I say it, including the top three guys. Brandon Bean doesn't know the difference between, in terms of career outlook, A.D. Mitchell and Ricky Pearsall any better than he knew the difference between Dalton Kincaid and Sam Laporta, or Kyer Elam and Christian Benford, who went five rounds later. Like, you have to know what you don't know and do the rest from there. And the Bills can do exactly what you want without trading away essentially two or three other probable starters, players you would expect to start on a team that just got old and lost several key players, including that wide receiver one that already was going through the career with with Allen. All right? So it all stems from that. And if this team acts like it knows Brian Thomas over Pearsall or Franklin or five other guys, if not more, I just will be dubious for the foreseeable future.
You will, I think, continue to be dubious because they are going to prefer a guy. Like, that, everybody is. Like, that's the job. Like, I know you could just sit back and just, like, pick the names out of a hat, but, like, your biases, your opinions are going to enter into it. And so whether they stay put or they move, like, they're going to decide on the guy they like the most. That's it. And, you know, that's just the reality.
Just don't trade three picks for it. You're right. I know. That's correct. That's great. It's just not worth three picks ish. I don't know. It doesn't have to be three. It might be four. It could be two. You know, it could be it could be perfect. It could be that you're trading Saturday picks that everybody in the world will say they didn't need. You know, like, to move up.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if it falls a certain way and they can move up, you know, a modest thing like they've done the last couple of years, and still get the guy that I'm describing that they would have had targeted, then that'll work out great. But I'm not as worried about how the sausage ends up getting made, I guess. Like, I recognize that there is a conversation to have and a debate to have about it, and I'm engaged in it. I'm not blowing it off
by
any means. But I am, excuse me, very much kind of like where I started out back in January, which is, you know, a little bit like you said. I mean, it's not exactly 14-8. Bring me a guy, and – you know, the better he projects, the better he's thought of, the higher rated he is, I'm going to be here for that. I know there's no guarantees. I'm just excited to get the potential of this guy, whoever he ends up being, in the shopping cart some way, somehow. I'm just really excited by that.
I understand. I think that's completely reasonable. I, for the record, this is 10 years ago, probably about to the day, loved the Watkins trade.
Right.
Not because I didn't know the math. I know the math better than I did 10 years ago. Now there's no doubt that, like, a move like that is totally, I don't want to say necessarily going to fail, because that's not right. You don't know that. But it's definitely bad math. I didn't know that well 10 years ago, but I left our show and went to a bar and sat around 200 or 300 Bills fans who were screaming at the TV when it was announced they'd made this trade with the Browns, and I decided to enjoy it.
Yeah, sometimes you want to just get out of the way.
I decided to enjoy it because I've had sort of this difficult sometimes with sort of like go Bills, and you know what? This time I'm down. I'll do it. And I thought it was better for us. I was never faking. But, you know, you're going to push against this trade. I'll put on sort of a white suit and be like, oh, no, it's actually good.
Oh, hold on, Bulldog. Let me tell you how smart this was.
I don't think I ever said smart.
No, I know.
But
I know.
Here's an interesting thing to think about, though, that, you know, you can have this if you want it. How far did that trade really set the Bills back? So that was in 2014. In 15, they would not have had a first-round pick because they spent it on Watkins. By 15, they were off of the quarterback. By 17, with all new everything, they were in the playoffs. Two coaches, hence, right? Rex had come and gone. Rex wasn't here for that trade. It was Marone who made that, right. who was the coach of the team when they made that trade. Doug Rex, yep. With Whaley, Rex, and for essentially Whaley as well, had come and gone. And then in 17, with Watkins on the roster to start camp, they're in the playoffs. They were super lucky. That was not a good team, but they were in the playoffs.
Right.
That happens too. That's another reason why you should not trade up, because you want to respect the randomness of all this.
But did they really miss the guys they didn't get to pick? No. I mean, it took them a few years to get there, right? And 17 was not a great year, like you're saying. But
it ended the drought.
Yeah, right. That's right. So, a part of this for me, like, I totally hear two or maybe even three starting players for you. Okay, I mean, that's if you hit them all. I mean, let's factor in the randomness that you're referring to
sure,
begin with.
Sure.
So, okay, so, you know, maybe, two out of three would be a good hope. Whatever. I'm just not that worried about the guys they're not going to get to pick. Like, I think a lot of the other positions aren't as vital. They'll get guys. They will field 11 players on both sides of the ball and even special teams. And, maybe for me, the trade way up got hotter when the Diggs trade got made. And I made this point yesterday. I've made it a few times. Like, I'm not as freaked out about their financial situation because they have swallowed all of the Diggs' dead money in one swoop here. So maybe it won't be as hard to find a veteran safety if they don't get one in this draft. I mean, I don't know. You know, for this year, you know, you hope you get by with what you got. But next year they may have the ability to supplement the roster with free agents in a way that this year they barely could. And that offsets what I don't do in the draft. I mean, ideally, it's a young player that's cheap on a rookie contract drafted in the third round or whatever. And, like, I know, I recognize the value of that and the difference of signing free agents is more expensive. But I just think they have more flexibility now. And when the Diggs trade happened, the financial part freed me up. And then I just started thinking about Brandon Bean trading away Stephon Diggs and what does he have in mind. Like, is he just going to sit back here and wait for it to fall to him, or is he going to go get a guy? And he's been a go-get-a-guy type of guy as a GM here. So that all just sort of built up and led to me sort of, okay, I'm here for this. You want to go up? Go way up.
Well, this is downright civil, sadly, so far. If you want, I can get you Aaron Schatz, who can tell us how the win total won't be affected whether Chop Robinson is on the Bills. I mean, or anybody else I would pick with those two or three players. I mean, what is that going to do to the spread?
Right.
But what is Brian Thomas versus Keon Coleman going to do to the spread either? Nothing. It's all meaningless. That's where we end up. Isn't that exciting? Like, so many conversations about important things in life. You end up like, oh, what's the difference? Whatever.
Please,
it doesn't matter. We're all going to die.
Please call us and join
us in
our meaninglessness.
Sadly, every conversation sort of lands at that. We'll try to do better. I'll try to do better. 803-0550. Joe is on WGR. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead. Come on.
I'm just calling. I called it actually last week in regards to the trade up. You were off, I believe, speaking of Mike. And I can't say how much I agree with you more than if we make this trade up, what's going to happen, like you just said, it's a complete crapshoot. So we're going to trade away three future starters for a possible future starter in a wide receiver who we know nothing about in regards to how he's going to pan out. It's going to set the franchise back tremendously if we miss on that pick. And it's one thing if you're just trading away that second-round pick that we just got for Diggs. I respect that. But when you're talking future first-round picks, future second-round picks, Those are supposed to be impact players, which this team does not have currently. So if we make this trade, I'm all in. I trust Bean. I trust McDermott. But that's like as if you're putting in a 10-pick parlay saying this is the one that can set me free from financial, or set my financial future in the future. Well, I'm sorry.
You're okay.
In my mind right now.
No, we got you. Yeah, but, I understand. Yeah. You're speaking my language with parlays.
Exactly. I just don't think that this is a smart idea. It could set us back tremendously. And I hate to see that when we also have people on defense such as your safeties. We need a corner, in my opinion. We need an edge rusher. We need D tackle. We have no depth. So we're going to go and make a move for a player that in a position of where a team would normally do if they feel they're one player away. We are not that team right now. So it's almost like I get it as a child in me. I would love to see the trade-off and see the drama and all the above, but the realist in me says that is the dumbest move we can make at this point in time where this football team is.
Okay, Joe. Listen, let's get this question. Thank you, Joe. Let's get this question in while we're right here. Do you think they're going to do it? Because
I think they're going to die trying to do it. I don't know if they'll find a match, but I'll bet they are burning the phones up right now.
Okay, so I'm not trying to pin you into a corner, but you're saying you believe that this is your opinion is that they want to move up.
Yes.
You've read people speculating like that because whether it's 5 years ago with Oliver or other times, I have fun with this. Like,
yep.
Aren't you the one who tells me not to believe anything? Like, why is this year different for this?
What I am doing more than anything else is ignoring. I mean, I'm reading mock drafts. I'm reading analysis. I'm reading scouting reports of the receivers. This is all based on, to me, Bean's track record, his behavior, how he's handled these situations in the past, and the fact that he traded away Stephon Diggs and let Gabriel Davis walk in free agency. I just feel like this team, did they have a purge of veterans? Yes, they did. But I happen to still believe this team is in contention. I don't think they're backing up. And I think Bean will act like someone who needs to fill a giant hole in his receiver core. That's so I'm not basing it on nothing against any of these people. I mean, I respect and read a lot of them. Any of the draft experts, our guy, Trapasso, Joe Marino, Lance Zierlein, the big man, Daniel Jeremiah, all of them. I'm taking it all in, but I'm not thinking they want to trade up because of what any one of those people has said or written. It's because of watching Brandon Bean do this job for the last 5 years.
Okay, fine. And I'm going to later want you to name as many as you can of these draft people in like 15 seconds to see how many you can get to.
That was really good.
That was like five people in 4 seconds or less. That's a good pace.
Thank you.
You're on a pace for 80 home runs and 230 RBIs this year.
I definitely would have petered out there. Like, I stopped when I stopped. If another name would have clicked in, I would have said it.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here we go. 803-0550. Today, Sal Capaccio, Chris Trapasso. What do you think they should do? What do you think they will do? It's tomorrow. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this on WGR.
If you're Buffalo and you've gotten so close taking over the AFC, but you can't beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, can't do it when it matters. So you've gotten that close. Why not go all in to try to do it? I don't know that a pick at 28 overall is going to be the difference for them. I think now's the time. You know that you're going to be picking late in the first round every year because you have Josh Allen and you have a good coaching staff that's always going to put a good defense out there. How valuable is next year's pick number 28 or 29 overall? If you could take this year's first, next year's first, and get Aroma Dunze in the top 10 potentially. I think Buffalo is one of the few teams, really, where you can make that argument.
That is Matt Miller on with Dan Patrick. And what makes, in my opinion at least, I think many agree, all of this kind of discussion really interesting and compelling and fun is how both sides, so many of these points are. Like, what are the Chiefs? The Chiefs here in this situation are, I'm trying to beat them. And, okay, well, what do I need edge rushers for? I did that, and I didn't beat them. So why not trade up? Well, what did they do at wide receiver? You know, like they didn't even bother. They drafted Edwards-Helaire after they won their first one, which busted pretty much. He's still on the team, but whatever. And then they kind of just have faded it. A little bit in free agency. Justin Watson, whoever that is, like just guys that for the most part were not at all. They would not have been picks that Bills fans would be happy with this weekend. They're just sort of throwing picks.
That's right.
But you have Mahomes, so can't I win anyway?
And Kelsey.
And Kelsey, and that's where you and I sort of get on the ride because the Bills have made the Kincaid pick. Like, that is last year's first-round pick. And he is not Kelsey, at least not yet. You can't even really expect him to be Kelsey. But they did that. Like, that is part of their team. He is their number one pass-catching asset right now already. That is not changing. So I kind of want to act like I have that because I've done that.
Well, just because I've done it doesn't make it so, though. Like, you're right. This is where we get on the ride. Like, I don't want to end up sound like I'm dogging Kincaid because it's a very high threshold to reach. I mean, if he were to reach Kelsey level, like that's one of the greatest tight ends that's ever played. So there's a ways to go there. There's a gap there. And I just think this early in his career, it's not fair to just say I've got him and therefore I can emulate the Chiefs. If he turns into Travis Kelsey, then great. That makes all this work even more seamlessly, despite giving up whatever I'm giving up to go up the board and draft this receiver that I'm eager to draft. Because now I've got like two incredible pass catching options if I hit this guy.
Bulldog, I would say one more thing about this Chiefs point, which again gets us back to nothing matters. The Bills have beaten Kansas City on the road 3 years in a row. What again are they supposed to go get that allows them to beat Kansas City? Like, they have beaten Kansas City. They just haven't done it in the playoffs, which is kind of fluky almost. It's not because they didn't draft a receiver over a lineman or vice versa 3 years ago. It's because their coaching went to Mars in the final seconds of the game, and they lost. I mean, this year you want the field goal, maybe. I don't know. Like, there isn't really a thing that's fixable necessarily that beats Kansas City for you, right? Am I right there? Like, just you have beaten them. You can beat them. You could have won these other games. But it's not because you didn't draft somebody else, is it?
I mean, I don't know. Is my offense potent enough to score enough points to beat them? Like, I got to do something, so I'm going to keep trying. And you said it already at the outset here. I did the dance a few years ago with double-dipping on edge players because I got to get to Mahomes, and I even signed Von Miller on top of that, and that hasn't really worked. And so I guess I'm back to, if square one of this was I'm going to have to outscore him, then I'm back to square one. And I'm going to have to outscore him, and the way to do that, I think, is to get as much talent on the field on offense as I can.
It's logical. Three playoff games against Mahomes, the Bills have averaged 28 points. Not bad.
No, it's pretty good.
Here's Brian with us. Hi, Brian.
It's really good, actually.
It's really good.
Hello, gentlemen. I completely agree with Bulldog right here. There is nothing you can do to not say go up and get yourself a wide receiver. I can't even fathom thinking that we're going to have Josh Allen in year six or seven. We're starting to get there. But we can't ever give him enough talent on the offensive side to go ahead and, again, super talented, super successful, but never successful enough. This reminds me of like Jim Kelly era, where he's the first ballot Hall of Famer quarterback-wise, never happens. You have Thurman Thomas, you have Bruce Smith, and we're going to sit here and pretend that we can't get over the hump. And the only way to do this, we have no talent for Josh. We're wasting the best years of the second-best quarterback in the history of this franchise. We have to move up. And if we don't, again, I feel like we're wasting Josh Allen. It's a waste of his career. We got to go get talent for this guy to win football games for us. We have to.
Is there a take hiding in here about what the Bills should have done in drafts in the early 90s?
No. It was the greatest greatest days of my life, so I would never.
Make a field goal?
Right. Well, we could have done that too, but at the end of the day, you just finished telling me we scored 28 points a game in the playoffs against Kansas City, and probably should have scored a couple more against the Giants because we were the far superior team, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Thanks, Brian. Like, I'm the last guy who wants to throw water on this conversation. I want the draft to be in July so we can keep having it. But, you know, why did they lose the game this year? What are the top five answers on the board? Bernard? Like, why did they lose the game this year? Did it have to do, I mean, Diggs didn't have a big game. He's also walking across the defense alone with 2 minutes left, and Allen ignored him. I mean, Diggs isn't – is he what? He dropped a big pass. I don't want to
yes, –
I'm trying to get this right. Like,
yes, he did.
24 points, missed field goal, 9 yards per play against. Why did I lose?
Yeah, the defense was
– If I have a fourth-round pick – I'm sorry, this is mean toward the Bills, but if I had a fourth-round pick that I spent to trade up for Kincaid or Elam, is that guy on the field instead of A.J. Klein who was selling cars?
They had a linebacker that they chose not to play instead of A.J. Klein and Dorian Williams. And I'll never understand why they did that. So tell me again all about these day three linebackers are going to save the day. Or day two.
I know.
I had a guy, they didn't put him on the field.
I know.
So
I think they lost the 13 seconds game because maybe they didn't know what the score was. That's Gabe Davis, who everybody came to hate, had the greatest playoff game in NFL history. Like, you know, he was good enough that day, right? He was good enough that day.
Yeah, he was all right.
Maybe I'll pick somebody in the fourth round and have Gabe Davis. He'll go for 204 in the playoffs. We do need this to be tomorrow. We do need this to come quick.
Yes.
I do. Okay. Dave is next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First time, long time.
Thank you.
I'm with you, Mike, on this entire debate. The draft is all about maximizing your potential starters. And I think that trading up is, like, the absolute worst thing you can do to maximize your potential starters on your team. So the odds of hitting a first-round pick are 70%. You can trade back 5 spots and get an early second-rounder or third-rounder or whatever it is. And the odds of hitting that pick are 50%. Like, you've increased your potential of getting starters on your team. So that's where I stand on it. I think it's compelling just to use the math.
I don't know if I would, you know, thanks, Dave. I like where you're coming from. I don't know if I would use the same math, you know, like the first round is a pretty wide range. Caleb Williams' odds of being good are not the same as A.D. Mitchell's, you know, or I should put that the other way around. So I think the best case scenario for the Bills would be to trade from 28 to like 38 and then get a third round pick, which should be the price. And then if you do that, you are getting about the same wide receiver. You are getting a wide receiver who has almost literally the same chance of success in the league as you would be.
At 28.
Yes. Not at 1 or right. 5.
Or maybe
but
9.
At 20, right, yeah. At 28. Instead of getting the 6th wide receiver off the board, you're getting maybe the 9th receiver off the board. Okay. We've sat here for 10 weeks arguing about how to rank these guys. So, okay. And I'm getting a third who can be interior defensive line, a starting center. I don't know. Just that has value. It does not move the line, but it has value.
If I get a second round pick, which is what we're talking about in this scenario, right? You're saying go from 28 to 38. I've already got 60, and I pick up a third round pick in the process. I'm back to maybe I take two of these receivers, and that has appealed to me. I mean, I'm going to be terrified of not making a pick on Thursday. I mean, I can tell you that. It'll be a long ride from 33 to 38 waiting to see, you know, what happens. You know, after I get out of 28, there's the picks that from the end of there to the end of the round, and then, of course, the opening second-round picks before I get there. But, like, in theory, if I'm willing to double-dip there, I'm you've got my interest. There are players that I like there. Javon Baker, Xavier Leggett, to name two.
Right.
I might like that more than going up to get Rome Odunze, honestly. But it's a question whether you can pull it off, and do you have the guts to take the risk that, like, you're doing this with that in mind, and someone topples that idea. Like, just someone grabs your guys, and now it's part of the reason why I think I'm measuring Bean here in you know, this entire operation, which is, you know, he's the guy in charge, and him sitting back and being, I guess, passive about it would surprise me.
Yeah, I would say the same. It's not he's been aggressive. Here's Tim next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. I'm going to kind of build on the comment here with Bean. I think, you know, I really believe he's done a great job for us. I think the team has perpetually had a pretty competitive roster. And compared to where we were pre-Bean and McDermott, like, they've done a fantastic job. From that perspective alone, I think they've earned the right to kind of trade up and give it this shot in this case. Now, I get the more spots, more picks can go favorably, but like with Bean, he's one of my favorites. I get.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Rather than second guessing, like, I prefer all those attributes in this case. And again, the late picks, it could be anything. For every Kyrie Elam he's had, there's the Christian Benford to kind of back it up. So I think money next year, get the surplus on the wide receiver, trade up, make it happen. Let's get excited and hope for a great season.
Well, that part isn't really, you know, that's all a given. We're all going to root for it and cross our fingers. We got a show to do for the next 6 months, you know, today included. So, of course, we're going to root for it. Just, it confounds me how people, more people don't see the simple luck in Elam and Benford examples. Like, we're really, does there always have to be a reason for everything that happens in life in sports? Is it really like, is being competent or incompetent that he drafted Elam in the first round and Benford in the sixth? It's neither. It happens. If the Patriots knew so much, they would have picked Tom Brady in the fifth round. Like, it's just, this is the draft. It isn't to be attributed to somebody's skills as a future teller. This is what happens. What you are trying to do is get enough kicks at it, enough picks, smart moves, watch the Eagles, watch the Ravens, what they do every year to give yourself the best odds because you cannot beat the game. So, of course, we're going to root for them, but let's not try to beat the game this time. Was Kincaid a good pick? Was that a good trade? He was a fine rookie. Are we glad they did that? Did they need to trade up for him? I mean, all of it. Elam, you would never do that again, even with Benford. I mean, maybe you'd want to pick Benford in the second round because of how much you like him. But that would have been insane to people who follow the draft at the time. And the Bills would never have done it. No team would have done it. I don't know. Why do we rack our brains trying to attribute everything to logic and intelligence and design? It's not really that much about that. Just don't kill yourself thinking that you know who the good receiver is. Do not make that mistake. That can be fatal. If you're going to trade three or four guys, it doesn't have to be four, trying to get it right, for somebody that you think is going to be the best, even despite the league's horrendous record at predicting players in the draft, good luck to you. I won't support it. I just think it's nuts. And I am on the edge of my seat and all tense because I feel like they're going to do it. Yeah. And I'm going to have to say this all the time and just get people mad at me because I don't care which team is doing it. It's still wrong. One team has Josh Allen. Their odds of winning are better than the team without him. So the Bills have that going for them. You could say, so what they do, because they have Josh Allen. That's great. We can say, let's root for them, cross our fingers. That's super helpful. Pass. Thomas has a shoulder injury. Mitchell is off teams' lists, reportedly, because he took plays off and character questions. I don't even know how well I'm doing unless I'm getting into the top 10, and what does that cost? Is that even possible at this point?
1-2-1-4.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Well, that's the Bears.
Sal coming up at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio in less than 15 minutes. I mean, really, when have you had a chance to hear Sal on the radio station?
Well, he was gone for a while.
He was. You're right. He's back. He was gone. Louie is with us. Hello, Louie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. So, listen, I was, like, on the other side of that bandwagon. I was, like, the guy that... I can't wait. I want to trade up, this and that, you know, Brian Thomas, whatever, right? Dunze, big splash. But you know what? You guys make a lot of sense. I really believe that why take that chance on that one guy when you can double up? You know what? The Bills had a private workout, I believe, today on Xavier Legette. This guy's a 6'2", 220-some-pound receiver that runs a 4.39. There's a lot of good receivers in this draft, guys. You know what? And the other guy, I think he was saying, Bullock, Des Walker, he's another good, really good receiver. This class of receivers is really, really good. And I'm like you guys. I don't believe in trading all my picks and taking a chance on that one guy, whatever. But you know what? This receiver class is going to be long remembered for having that deep of a class of really good playmakers.
Maybe.
We'll see.
A lot of people think so.
Yeah. I mean, I did make the point about double dipping with the trade back idea, but I'm here 100% for going way up and doing exactly what the caller is saying. You know, you guys are making sense. Don't do it. I'm here for it. I'll do it. Just to be clear.
Yes, you should be able to explain that, I think, because he's not listening to you when you're talking, it seems. It feels to me like the Patriots are out on Drake May if he were to not get picked at 2, which the favorite is Daniels to get picked at 2. Do you agree with that? Do you think Drake May goes to New England? Or, like, again, of course, it's all just so noisy and maybe I shouldn't want to draw any conclusions.
Yeah, I guess I would say I still think he's gonna. I would be surprised if they didn't make that pick. But with that said, I guess if there's a part of me, it doesn't outweigh me thinking they'll take Drake May. But if there's a surprise at quarterback to me, the potential for May to tumble is maybe the surprise.
He's the one you think would maybe be picked fourth, like if you could bet it for a price?
Yeah. And like dropping, you know, down to where Minnesota and like 10, 11, 12, in that region.
I don't think he goes later than 6. I think Minnesota could move to 6 if the Giants don't want him. I think the Giants could want him. Mm-hmm. But if New England drafted McCarthy or traded out, or I guess drafted Harrison...
Sure.
Then, well, that would leave 2 quarterbacks on the board at that point if that happened. Then one of them could fall. I can't wait. I know every year, I'm thinking about hockey deadlines too. You and I having conversations, reading about all the Pierre LeBruns talking about how much action there's going to be. And then you sit there and there's like one fourth liner gets moved in 8 hours.
I am anticipating a lot of action tomorrow.
I really am.
And you're right. Maybe we'll be suckers. Like you're saying with NHL trade deadline stuff, but I just think the first round, the top end there could be nuts.
I think it's more likely if Daniels goes 2. That's what I'm betting on. Not literally. I wish I could, but I'd bet on New England not picking May. And there's your action, right? Because somebody want him or McCarthy.
Because I happen to think that if Daniels doesn't go 2, like if Washington prefers Drake May and they take him, then New England's at, then it's going to then the top would be kind of chalky. I think Daniels would go 3rd for sure, and then, you know, from there, you know, somebody trading up to 4 or whatever, but I think you got it. I think Daniels going 2 overall opens the possibility. I would not want my team to choose Drake May. I'm kind of scared of him.
And I like him. Well, we got a few years, hopefully, to watch that play out.
Right.
Sal after sports here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.